You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. My name is Dennis Raimondi. My show is Speaking Freely, and our guests today are Hunter and Andrea Payne. They head up the nonprofit AidStillRequired.org. They are a nonprofit organized around entering post-crisis situations to build back better and build green whenever feasible. They are currently involved in raising awareness about the genocide taking place in Darfur in the Sudan, and they are working with numerous NBA players, members of the National Basketball Association, like Kobe Bryant, who just did a public service announcement for them on the problems in Darfur. Hunter, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is your project with the National Basketball Association, as you said, you mentioned to me before we came on the air, you're a nonprofit organized around post-crisis situations. Tell us about that. Give us a little bit of a mission statement.
Well, Aid Still Required, the reason we chose the name is because it kind of says it for us, is that there are a myriad of forgotten situations in the world that we would like to help. And so we actually got involved with this with the tsunami, and we were involved immediately with the tsunami, putting together a CD compilation of major artists contributing tracks, and we actually got endorsed by Bill Clinton's UN office. And as we've gone along with that, that record took us so long to put out. It still isn't out yet. 3.5 years since the tsunami. So we eventually came up with the idea that, well, maybe we should go into post-crisis situations because it isn't doesn't seem like a crisis situation anymore. However, over in Southeast Asia, there are still hundreds of thousands of people who, are living under tarps and living tend to a room in old barracks, and it's really, it's left the headlines, but it hasn't left the planet. And so we found ourselves involved that way, and then getting into Darfur. We got in Darfur in another way, but one way or another, we were thinking, this is a bend that isn't being done.
But Dennis, one of the things that we were thinking about, there are many charities that are doing wonderful work.
Right.
We were thinking about how, just sort of what made us different. And we thought about our culture and our society, and people responded very generously after the tsunami. But then, it is out of the headlines, and after a few months, people are on with their lives. And same with Katrina. People responded, and then life goes on.
Right.
It's only normal that people's attention would be pulled away, but there's sort of a new model of, I think, giving, and a new way that we need to think about helping people and making a difference.
Right, right. Let me just throw something in here, and you've let me know your thoughts on it. I'm very interested that you're bringing this point up about what happens is there's a terrible situation takes place, there's immediate response, and then after a month or two, it falls out of the headlines. Or in the case of Darfur, this genocide, this tragedy is still going on, but some reason people have a short attention span. I was just in Indonesia, where my daughter's doing nonprofit work there in Bali, and the nonprofit that she's working with, one of their issues is they're providing relief, and they have a medical clinic in Aceh, which was hit most horribly by the tsunami. But what's happened is, in the last year, they can't get anybody's attention on it anymore. People feel, well, that was the tsunami, that happened, everything's fine. But in fact, the damage was done, and it was never completely even close to being brought back to normal, but it's harder to get money, it's harder to get attention on it. Is that where you're coming from in terms of your organization, AidStillRequired.org, and it seems to be in the title of your organization?
Yes, and actually, you should put us in touch with your daughter, because it's exactly the sort of thing. We were in Aceh and saw firsthand. I mean, it was one. Banda Aceh is a little bit like Los Angeles or London in the sense of there are many different areas make up.
Mm-hmm.
In one particular area, there were 40,000 people that lived in that village, and 35,000 died.
Wow. Well, and yet how many Americans, how many of us know that or are familiar with Aceh? I am because of the work my daughter's been doing, but I think most people, it's out of their awareness. Let's go back now to Darfur. and the project and program you have with the National Basketball Association. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there and how that came into being.
What's going on in Darfur?
I think our listeners are fairly familiar with that. We can talk about that a little bit. But how did your project there coming to being with the NBA?
Well, Andrea, do you want to take that?
Well, we had heard, obviously, we had read some in the news, but not a lot, because it wasn't, you know, front page. We had gone to an art exhibit about Darfur, so it was a little bit in our awareness. And then a few months later, I read an editorial by Mia Farrow, the actress, in the Los Angeles Times. And she was horrified to find out. She'd been a good UN Goodwill ambassador, and she'd been to the refugee camps many times. And she discovered that her pension funds were at Fidelity Investment, and that Fidelity was investing in two Chinese oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese oil companies were partially those revenues, China's Sudan's biggest trading partner, and that revenue had been shown to have been funding the genocide.
Wow. You know, let's get into this for a second. A couple of things. I had a gentleman on a few months ago. He's a senior fellow at Harvard. He's Sudanese. He's in exile. He can't go back to Sudan. And his name is Omar Ismail, and he was heading up the relief effort into Darfur. And one of the points he wanted to make was that China and Russia have been very much complicit in the problems that are taking place in the Sudan because of investment interests they have there. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I think it sort of boils down to one three-letter word, which is oil.
Yeah. Always a problem. And the other thing I read when I was looking at the work you guys are doing, you have a number of NBA players that are working with you to raise awareness. And one of the players, I believe it's his name is Ira Nubley. I'm not sure. I think it's a guy that's with the Cavaliers. He got a number of other NBA players to sign off on, raising awareness about Darfur. But some of the big stars wouldn't sign because they have endorsements or connections to Nike or some way or somehow connected to China and didn't want to offend the Chinese or threaten their the money they were getting from endorsements.
Yes. Right. Well, the link between the Mia Farrow article and Ira, the day that I read that article, we were just horrified. We realized Hunter had had an account at Fidelity for many years. So I sent out an email to 40 or 50 people just saying, we're going to investigate this and make sure that we're not, you know, participating somehow. And one of the people that I sent it to asked me to forward it on to his client, Ira. And I didn't realize, I thought Ira was an accountant in Brooklyn, with little round glasses and a yarmulke. And,
right.
So I sent it off to Ira, and it turned out Ira was an NBA player. And Ira is a very smart guy, and his father was a civil rights activist in the 60s, and he took it upon himself. He got very motivated and contacted a man he'd read, Eric Reeves, who's an expert on what's happening there. And he and Eric came up with this idea of crafting a letter to the president of China from NBA players. And the NBA is huge in China.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought that that would have some weight and influence, saying, you know, your Olympic hosts step up to the plate and, represent the Olympic ideals. And 10 of the, I guess, a total of 11 players signed on, and two didn't, and one of them happened to be LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James, that's the name I read about that wouldn't sign, and it had to do with probably his agents telling him, hey, look, you can't jeopardize your ties to China.
Well, it's all speculation, Dennis. We don't know because LeBron has been very close-mouthed about it. He did say that he didn't feel he was educated enough to know, you know, whether it was a good idea to write the letter, sign the letter or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all make whatever, you know, assumptions we want from that. And we've been in touch with them a few different occasions since, and we don't get no's of his participation, but we haven't gotten a yes yet either. And ESPN, we just did a ESPN is doing a piece on Darfur player. NBA players about Darfur, and they're contacting LeBron now and giving him another opportunity. So right. We may see something soon. Who
right.
knows?
But and I think also part of their angle is there was a lot of activism in the 60s, and several key people, including Muhammad Ali, and I think, was it Craig Hodges? Was that the name, Hunter?
Right.
Stepped forward. And so ESPN is very interested because they hadn't seen this kind of activism from athletes in a while. And so for Ira to step up to the plate and then have these other players start coming forward, and Steve Nash and Grant Hill, and then for Kobe Bryant and four of the other Lakers, Derek Fisher, head of the Players Association, to come forward and be enthusiastic about wanting to participate, there seems to be some sort of shift in, I think, realizing their influence.
Right.
Also maybe wanting to talk about something more about the dribble or the 3D shot
right.
or something, you know.
Right.
And that's key. And when we've gone to the shoots to do the PSAs, I think that's a key part of it, is that you feel these guys, want to be heard as something other than this great athlete. So, they just sort of get started and they
right.
go.
Right. And I read also that Ira Nubley, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, his idol was Muhammad Ali. And certainly Muhammad Ali took a very strong political stance during his career, which he suffered a lot for. But also, I think in time, people came to respect how he stood politically, or at least that he stood for his convictions, whether they agreed with him or not. For those just tuning in, you're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM. My name is Dennis Mundy, and my guests today are Hunter and Andrea Payne, who are the founders and very active with aidstillrequired.org. As you're listening, if you're by your computer, go to www.aidstillrequired.org, and this is what they do. This is their organization. And what I'd like to ask both of you is how you became involved with this. Obviously, it consumes most, if not all, of your time. How were you able to put this organization together? How long have you been in existence? What are some of your current activities, and what are your plans for the future?
Well, we've been kind of following our nose on this because what happened is a tsunami hit. Andrea had some friends, whom I also knew but didn't know very well, who were in Thailand at the time, so we were riveted for that reason, in mm-hmm. addition to just the fact that the whole world was riveted by this event. And 4 days later, it turned out they could finally email us, and they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we put together this CD compilation, starting out to be just a three-month project. We had no intention of making this our life. But the project took on its own momentum, and getting the UN office in, and Paul McCartney and Eric Clapton and all these big stars, and we started to see that there was something there. And then when we got involved in Darfur, actually through the back door again, kind of, because Ira got us involved, in the sense of he took what Andre had sent to his agent. He turned around and turned that into the letter and got the players to sign it. And then we saw an opportunity with, because it became pretty, media friendly, this thing about taking a stand and also about LeBron not signing it. So that's how we got going ahead on the NBA players. And then we just realized we're in this full time at this point. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like that, more than we designed it.
Right,
part
right.
Of also, it's Ira Nubel, Dennis. You had been wondered how to pronounce it. It's Nubel.
Okay.
When Ira contacted the other players, and then we got so much interest last summer. Sports Illustrated mentioned it, and then the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and Boston Globe, it sort of became news in the sports press, and they were sort of very interested. And also, Hunter's an avid basketball player and plays a couple times a week. So
mm-hmm.
When it, I think when we saw that there was some interest in the players, Hunter said, wow, well, he knew sort of who some of the main guys in the league were and who might be interested. And so he just picked up the phone and started calling people and saying, would you like to pitch in? Would you like to, say something for Darfur and see if we could make a difference in this area?
Right. By the way, I don't think we've mentioned yet, but there's a, if you go to the website, and again, that website is www.aidstill, that's singular, aidstillrequired.org. There is a public service announcement done by Kobe Bryant. And I all support to Kobe Bryant because he doesn't always get the best press. And yet he's a superstar that has gone out and made a very strong statement in regard to DeFour. And it is now a public service announcement on your website. Why don't you, if you could tell us a little bit about that and if you had any interactions with Kobe Bryant, what he's like.
Well, we, you know, when we taped these different PSAs, we found that, you know, we were kind of talking to the highest part of these guys in a sense. They all were great. When we did the Lakers shoot, we did five guys at one time, and one of the guys, a guy named Trevor Ariza, we had a book there from Amnesty International of pictures from Darfur, and he was looking through the book, and he's, what is Trevor, 22 years old or something, he's pretty young. And he looks at it and he goes, "Wow, is this what's going on over there?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came on to do the PSA with very little knowledge, and then went, "Oh my God!" And so when these guys were there, they really were wonderful about it, and they were straight on purpose, and really wanted to get the job done. And you really got the feeling that in their extraordinarily busy schedules, and they are hit on all the time for people, mm-hmm. you know, from charities as well as, you know, this, that, and the other thing, to speak out. They seemed really there to do it, and some of them spent 2 hours with us, and the Laker management saying, what else can we do? And, you know, it's been like that with a lot of teams, but especially with the Lakers we're hearing.
And
now,
I think that particular day, we weren't sure that Kobe was going to be able to make it. He had committed to doing the PSA, but we weren't sure he could make it. And he showed up, and as you can see, if you, you know, when people see the PSA, he spoke with such really power and authority, and I think, you know, the authority that he carries on the court mm-hmm. comes through his sort of passion and commitment.
Right, and for the those listening in, if you're not familiar with what's going on in Darfur in the Sudan, it is a very large country in North Central Africa, and there's a conflict between the Arab population there and the more indigenous tribes. Correct me if I'm wrong, Hunter and Andrea, but it's to the point where people are being driven out of their villages. There are groups of vigilantes that a lot of people feel are supported by the government that are literally raping and pillaging communities. Maybe 600,000 people have had to flee their homes. There are refugee camps and murder is taking place there to the point where it's been called a genocide. And yet most of the world is not doing what they could be doing, certainly I think, to be stopping this. A few words on that and what's going on and what needs to be done to really stop the genocide from taking place and to correct the situation.
Well, it's, you know, if we really get present to what's going on there, it's really moving as it's been with any other kind of conflict. But this, 80 to 90% of the villages in Darfur are in ashes.
Wow.
The attacks come in, there are some government planes that come in, and the Janjaweed comes in and, you know, shoots and scatters people. And
now, the Janjaweed, who are they?
The Janjaweed are militias that are supported by the Khartoum government of Sudan.
Okay, so Khartoum
means devil came on horseback.
All right, and devil coming on horseback. And Darfur is a section in western Sudan, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the western quarter of Sudan.
It's the western quarter, and it's about the size of France.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 2.5 million people that have been displaced. And the estimates in terms of people who've died have been between 200,000 and 450,000, depending on whom you speak to. The UN estimates are usually pretty conservative. The NGOs and humanitarian groups say over 450,000. And then the government says there are less than 9,000.
And what has the United Nations done in terms of sending a peacekeeping force there or providing any troops? And what has the U.S., Europe done, developed nations, to help stop the genocide?
Well, the UN has a hybrid force that they're trying to deploy fully, but they've only been able to deploy partially because of a lot of resistance from Khartoum. So they have 9,000 of the 26,000 that are supposed to be in the area. And it's not really sufficient to do anything. It has, you know, in the areas where the troops are, it obviously has brought the violence down, but then there's a lot of other areas to be in. So, and it's really hard to know what's going on there because it's not like there are press cameras, you know, following the Janjaweed around and we get reports from the field all the time. It's you get reports later from people who have...
Right, but this report seems to be pretty consistent of the horrors that are taking place. For those just tuning in, you're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM. My name is Dennis Romani, and my guests today are Andrea and Hunter Payne, and their organization is aidstillrequired.org, and we are discussing what they're doing to raise awareness about the Darfur, the genocide there in the country of Sudan. Is one of the reasons that the United Nations not providing as much support to stop the genocide as they could be because China and Russia are on the Security Council and they are pressuring the UN not to interfere too much in that country?
Well, that's been our understanding from the various experts that we've spoken with and people who've been working there. Originally, on the Security Council, the resolution to send troops, the UN peacekeeping troops, China was blocking that for many months.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally, in this past year, stopped blocking it, and we believe it was due to the pressure from activists and the Olympics coming. And then the Sudanese government has gone back and forth on, you know, they would agree to things, and then they would... they wanted it to be an all-African Union force. They didn't want European troops. And so it was just very tricky trying to bring all these different factions together.
Right.
As Hunter mentioned, there are 9,000 troops now. I'm not quite sure what's preventing it, except I think some government concerns and regulations. There's also been a holdup with helicopters being donated. I know that the Janjaweed, somehow they have helicopters from somewhere. Don't know if it's from the government or who's supplying them. And so that enables them to sort of do these reports and attacks. And I think, is it 18 helicopters that we need, Hunter, or was it 26?
25.
25. I think there's one that they've gotten so far. And so for to be able to move around those numbers of people and to respond quickly, we need the helicopters. And I think the U.S. helicopters are occupied in Iraq and Afghanistan, so they haven't been able to offer more.
Right. And for those listening in, I mean, it is a great frustration. We all feel that why can't more be done? And I think the way to get something done is to write your congressman, write your you know, people in a political office, and put pressure on them. I've had almost all the presidential candidates from the Republican and Democratic side on my show in the last few months. And in almost every case, I asked them about the Sudan, about Darfur. I spend time in Africa, and I have a particular interest there. But it should be an interest everybody has in the everybody in the world has, considering how many people are being displaced and killed there. And they all gave it some lip service, but I felt no real commitment from anyone to really take a lead there. And one of the things Americans will say, political leaders will be, the Europeans haven't done much, which is true. They've probably done less than the U.S., but I think we really have to, we are morally obligated to take action, being as powerful a nation as we are, and not live with the guilt that many feel from not doing more in Rwanda when the genocide took place there. The difference here is this is ongoing. This is going on for years, day after day, week after week. And I think also the media has to take responsibility because they don't give it enough coverage. It's really back on you know, the third and fourth page in a newspaper now. It's hardly covered by CNN or Fox. So I think pressure has to be put on all these groups to raise awareness and for the American people to demand that their political leaders take action. Would you agree with that?
Oh, gosh, 100% or 1,000%, Dennis. And one of the, I think part of our, really our core belief and what we're seeing happening with Aid Still Required is it's been really inspiring to see all the people who are stepping up to the plate. And I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked about some of the celebrities, both for our Tsunami CD and for the PSAs. But it's really been this incredible grassroots effort. I mean, it started in our kitchen, you know, like what can two people do? What can we do to make a difference?
Right.
And as we speak to people, there have been so many people who've been so generous with their help. And we have people from all over the country who they'll see our website or, you know, somebody might be hearing your show and want to get involved. And people have called or written. And we have a wonderful young woman who heard about us in Chicago. And she's Miss Wisconsin Plus, Maisha Hill, and she contacted us, said she wanted to make us the beneficiary of her. She's a beauty pageant contestant, mm-hmm. and they need to, you know, work with the charity. And she's already organizing a walkathon and an art gallery fundraiser.
And how are you funded? How is your organization, Aid Still Required, funded?
Right now, we're funding ourselves.
Yeah. Well, you deserve a lot of credit for that. I mean, we're in our last couple of minutes here, and what I'd like to do is just let you give our listeners, and we stream worldwide, and anybody can pick this up live anywhere in the world. And also, this show will be archived, and you're welcome to post it on your website to raise awareness about what you're doing. And how can the people listening out there help you? Again, your website, for those listening, please go to www.aidstillrequired.org and find out, watch the public service announcement by Kobe Bryant, show it to other people, and Hunter, Andrea, in the last 2 minutes we have here, tell us what people can do to help you and to help your efforts.
Well, thank you, Dennis. We certainly, there are a myriad of things that you can do to help directly with what we're doing. One is we have what we call a five-minute advocate, where we ask people to just join in with their email address, and for 5 minutes a month we'll give them something to do, like what you said, call your congressman, or maybe blast your email list, or do some Facebook thing or something like that. And then we have other projects. There are things we're actually doing in Darfur right now that are, you know, not obviously military type of things, but we have a project called the Solar Cooker Project, which if you come to the site, you can hear how that actually stops rape. Rape is a terrible mm-hmm. problem around the camps, outside the refugee camps, and by using solar cookers, sounds odd, rape can be prevented in a very, very large way.
But people don't have to leave the camps for firewood, so it not only protects the resources, the limited firewood there is, and works on replenishing the environment, but the women don't have to leave the safety of the camps.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're researching projects right now to bring water to Darfur and to reforest the areas of Darfur that have been hurt by desert creep.
Mm-hmm.
And the water project in Darfur, 85% of the illness in Darfur is either comes through water,
mm-hmm.
exacerbated by water. And the general health of the region is just horrible. Whether they're involved in the conflict or not, it's just awful what's going on there. And we have a project we're now vetting that would bring water to every part of Darfur.
Wow.
Very, very exciting project. And
so
it's a project that's a reforestation project where we will, we're now in a pilot program on this now to make sure it works, but to sort of re-green the areas of the villages when the people get to come back to their villages. So they'll have an economic structure with arable land, because right now it's mostly desert land.
I think we just have a few seconds left. So
right.
I would say come to the website. Please read about the projects. Write us if you're interested. Call us. And speak out.
Right.
Every single person makes a difference.
Right.
And if we all join together.
Right, the website again, www.aidstillrequired.org. You can call into the station and ask for me, Dennis Raimondi, 641-209-1084, and I'll make sure you get that information. Hunter, Andrea, thank you so much for coming on. You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM. the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. My name is Dennis Mundy. My show is Speaking Freely, and our guests today have been Hunter and Andrea Payne. They are the founders and organizers of aidstillrequired.org, currently doing a major project on the tsunami and also Darfur. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we hope to have you back on again sometime soon.
We'd love to, Dennis. Thank you. Great.